so should we go with the dee 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 dee? This just in, special announcement. Hey, all the listeners out there, this is Rax, and Duel's on the line. We're recording this just before the show's going out on Wednesday. We have a special announcement for you. Take it away, Duel.
Free server sucks, and I'm assuming they took us down because of our content. I've received no correspondence from them whatsoever. They have not replied to any of my correspondence. We were down once before, but that said, our domain was unavailable. That was soon fixed.
Yeah, that was just down for a day or something.
Yeah, now we're getting a 4-4 and it's been down for 2 days. I've already signed up with another hosting company. Just waiting on the word from them. We'll upload it so the DNS records are updated. We're back up. So thank you to everybody for all the concern. Everything is cool as far as we know. As far as we know, the feds don't want our asses, so...
And what's really cool is there's, like, hackers around the world are emailing and putting messages on boards and saying, what happened to RFA?
No shit, man, and that's what the community's about, and I can't thank everybody enough. And I'm here for everybody else. If anybody ever needs anything, they can contact me, and just like they're sending messages to me. So we're here for the community, just like they're here for us. So
And by the way, free servers, you know, we started out with it just being a free server and then actually went to the paid site, you know, since we needed a little more bandwidth and more disk space. So free server wasn't free either in the terms of free, like free beer or freedom as in freedom of speech.
It started out that way, but we started paying just to get the no ads. And
yeah, I mean, and that's cool. I don't mind doing that. You know, that's cool.
No, and it was good for a while, but now we should have a good service at a better price and no oldschoolfreak.8m.com and your title bar. And by the way, the great show tonight. So
yeah, you're gonna enjoy it. So anyway, we'll catch y'all later. Thanks for all the cards and letters, and see y'all real soon.
Thanks.
So dude, what do you think of that song?
I love that song. I'm tripping.
Isn't it great?
Yeah.
It's you know what a really cool thing about it is though. I'm sitting here with Winamp 3.0 and turn on the visualization. Oh, the colors, man, the colors.
You're tripping out.
Dude, I only had 2 180s today.
Fuck, no, you're tripping out. You're probably shaking.
It's awesome, man.
How long have you been up?
What, you mean up high on 180?
Yeah.
Oh, just around the last half hour or so, just to get myself up for the show.
Oh, okay, all right. You haven't been up for, like, days hacking away?
No. We'll probably get to about 3 or 4 this morning, though.
Yeah,
oh, man.
I was going to say, you might start seeing stuff then.
Oh, dude, you should see this thing. You gotta play with this. Even with nothing playing, the thing is just, like, pulsing there, but, it, you know, it kind of mixes in with the colors and does everything. It's, like... totally awesome.
It's that good.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I played a little bit with WinM3, and I did like it. I like the default skin, too. It was actually kind of nice. I'm Dual Parallel, by the way.
And I'm Rax, and welcome to Radio Freak America number... what number is this?
27. Golly.
Man, we feel like old-timers now doing this stuff.
No doubt. Golly gee willikers, that's a lot of shows.
Gosh, Beav.
It seems like a lot of shows.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah. Hey, can I talk about my adventures? Well, first of all, again, you're recording. I'm back. I'm back in town. I'm back in my lab. I'm in front of my Linux box now. I love it. But I have no access. I have a little. I have a big problem with Comcast, my cable internet provider, but hopefully that's getting taken care of. So, again, Rax, thank you for recording this evening. And streaming. Hopefully I'll get it done by then, but you'll still stream it.
Yeah.
I did get a chance to hop on my little bicycle and zip around town.
On your bicycle? Not your scooter, this time, your bicycle?
this is a bike. This is a full-on custom urban assault bike, all right? So I went zipping around on my bike and stopped by one of my favorite dumpsters.
What's the dumpster's name? Do you give it a name?
No. I've got the company's name, and that's what I use to denote it. But I will not utter that over the air. I hit it, and man, jackpot! This company is just not good at all. I've got so much good stuff out of there. Hey, keep it up, guys. You know, I got something to talk about on the show then. This trip, I received a free, you know what, and it's the first little piece of paper, little notepad paper that I picked up, and here it is. It has on it Mrs. Blank, her last name, her full credit card number, the expiration date, and her phone number. Everything I need to do whatever I want. Of course I won't. I won't do a damn thing with it. In fact, I'll shred it after the show. But I can't believe they do that. I can't believe they don't shred it.
Is that a corporate card or something? A business card or is it a personal?
Assuming this is a customer's card. It has her name, Mrs., and her last name, and her phone number. And again, her full credit card number with expiration date. Everything you need. Oh, wait, I would need her first name and mailing address. Okay, well, that's simplistic enough. I could you know what? I could call her and get it. It's that easy.
Yeah, so you're from the company and, you know, you're just checking a record.
Yeah, easily. I could call her and get her information. And they're just tossing it about like it's nothing. You know, this poor lad, I feel sorry for this lady. Well, you know what, Mrs. Blank, I'm going to shred this for you and you'll be safe from now on. So, people, you know what, shred your stuff and make sure the companies you deal with, the banks you deal with, destroy your documents. Make sure you keep track of all of your personal information. Whereby I go to my bank and I say, well, what are you, they throw something away, what are you going to do with that? They have my name and my account number on it. Well, we shred everything. Well, I say, great. And if they don't, I ask for it back. If I deal with a company, I write something down. They just throw it away. So what do you do? You know, I'll ask them, do you destroy that? Do you handle it? If not, I want it back. And I'll get it back, and I'll destroy it myself. So.
Yeah, you were saying you even shred the envelopes that things come in.
Yeah, there's, if I may, there's this old school hacker, and he is he's one of my heroes. He's almost a mentor. His handle is Pastit, P-A-S-T-I-T, Pastit. And he taught me many, many things. And one of the things he said is that you can get, it's like, what's an example? Well, anyways, people can just get an idea of what accounts you have, what, you know, what kind of habits you have, you know, where you go to the bank, where you go to shop, you know, what kind of credit cards you have, just from envelopes. You can shred all the information in it that you don't need, but if you've got an envelope with, you know, your bank on it, well, then shit, they know another piece about you. So if it matters to me, I actually use that company or financial institution, I shred the envelope too. That's paranoid, isn't it?
Just a little bit.
No, it's not paranoid.
I wouldn't be paranoid if everyone wasn't against me, huh?
That's right. Exactly. Just being a little cautious. And you've got to. You have to. Because you know what? As much as I do this stuff, I still get junk mail from freaking Citibank, from, you know, where do they get my names? How do they get all this stuff? You know what? You have to be diligent. You have to always put effort into keeping your personal information private.
You know, that actually brings up a good point. There are two different types of things. I'll see if I can look them up and maybe get them posted up on the site. You can contact the Direct Marketing Association, and by law, they have, if you say remove my information from your database, they have to do it. As well, you can contact the reporting agency, the credit reporting agencies like Experian and all that.
Right.
You can contact them actually with one phone call or one email. You can have that information removed as well. So basically, like, not removed, but for 2 years, they're prohibited from selling your information. So that cuts way back on your junk mail.
Yeah, well, that's just fucking lovely. 2 whole years. Wow, thanks. You know what? That's bullshit. It should be, if I don't want it released forever, you should hold it forever.
Well,
you know what? It's still, that's great. I'm sure it'll help, but your information is still going to get out there somehow, some way. You're going to have to put your real name down for something, and somebody's going to get it, and it's going to propagate. Just like when your email address on the internet. You know, I belong to one of those roadside assistance things, you know, and you have to renew it every year. So I tell them, you know what, I don't want to receive the junk mail, you know. I want your service, but I don't want the crap that you send. So they stop it. I renew my membership, and guess what? They start it all over again. Every year I have to do this.
Yep.
It's a bunch of shit.
Well, you know, they've got that information, and they're taking and turning around and selling it. Like your driver's license, too. There is a...
That pisses me off.
On the driver's license, there is an option that you can say, don't release my information.
Yeah.
So I went to renew in my state when they put the driver's license renewal on the web. I went to do that on the web, and I was just about ready to do it, and I saw that they didn't have the little box to opt out of releasing your information. So I canceled, you know, I stopped doing it, and they had a feedback place, and I said, you know, I love the idea that you have it on the web, it uses SSL, that's great, but you're not exactly doing what you do in the paper form. You don't have the option of excluding your information from being sold, therefore I'm going to do it on the paper form, please change this. And, you know, later they did. I mean, a year or whatever later, they changed it. They had that on their website. When you went to renew, you pay it all on the web and say, don't release my information.
You made change happen, Rex. Because of you, more people have better privacy. You know, everybody listening, make sure you take the time to, and it's going to take a little extra time. Every time you install software, make sure you opt out of all that crap. Every time you fill out a form, make sure you check that little box. you know, you're going to have to take the time. I know it sucks, but in this world, you're going to have to do it, and it's only going to get worse. We're going to talk about this kind of later on. Take the time to write that letter and tell them, hey, you know, keep my information private. Do not release it. You know,
that's one of the tenets of Radio Freak America: technology, privacy, freedom, and knowledge.
That's right. Yeah, we haven't talked about privacy in a long time, so I'm glad this came up. So I feel bad for this poor lady whose credit card information was left. You know, basically, you know, lady sitting on the top of the garbage in this dumpster. I mean, anybody, this is the first thing I grabbed for crying out loud. So yeah, watch your privacy, people. And I know everybody values it, and it's a scarce commodity.
And you really have to value it. You have to treat it as not as a commodity, but as something scarce.
Yes.
Because it is so easy to get.
Yes, that's very accurate. Very accurate. Learn how to lie.
Well,
you know, when they ask, shit, when you order food at a restaurant, you know, let's say it's not a sit down restaurant, but a restaurant that's you know, kind of fast food, and they ask, okay, can I name for the order, so they call your name. Don't give your real name for crying out loud. You know, you're Bob. You're Bob today at the restaurant. You know, don't forget your name because you'll go hungry. But learn how to lie. Be diligent. Read those forms. Take the time. And
I don't know if I'd say learn how to lie, but just be very selective on
how you release
information.
Well, okay, all right. Learn how to instead of lie. We'll say be selective with your information.
Yeah,
if they're asking
for a name, I mean, if they, like what you were saying, if there's no reason that they have your real name, why should you give it to them if you don't want to be identified?
I don't. I go get film developed. Yes, I don't like digital cameras. I go get film developed, and they don't have that person. I have this whole other identity. They ask for my phone number. I give them this totally different number, and it's a totally different name.
But that kind of leads into the next subject that we can talk about, the selling out of America. We did the episode on culture jamming a while back, just talking about all the nefarious things that are going on. And heard about something in Springfield, Florida. You ready for this, Duel? Springfield, Florida. They are going to sell advertising space on their police cars.
What?
They're going to sell advertising space in their police cars. I don't know how big Springfield, Florida is, but the mayor says he figures they can raise $200,000 a year.
You're lying.
I'm serious, man. I'm dead serious. So
this is like the real Pepsi Patrol.
This is the real Pepsi Patrol. Think about it. The Krispy Kreme, you know? Donuts. You know, then take it to the next step. It's like, gee, are they going to be like NASCAR racers, and the cops pretty soon are going to have patches on their uniform?
That's right. Well, who's going to be running the cops, too? The chief is going to say, well, we're getting all this funding from Coca-Cola. We better watch their plants, you know, really well. And, shit, who's going to be running the cops in the future? I'm sure that's a little far-fetched, but...
But, the other thing, taking it to the next level, how about... they're selling advertising space inside it. So you're arrested for DUI, and just, you know, like you go in a taxi cab and they have the advertisements inside the cab. I'm cool with that. You know, that's fine. That's a private business. It's not, you know, it's not a municipal entity that's being funded by your tax dollars. But you go into a taxi cab and they have the advertisements inside. So picture this. You're in a cop car. You're arrested for DUI, and you're in the back seat. Not that I've ever had this happen to me, but I can just imagine this. You're in the back seat, and on the headrest of the cop part there is this DUI lawyer having their ad right there.
Or better yet, an ad for anal lubrication. I'm sorry I said that.
Going to jail? Well, get ready.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. Target advertising. Criminals, you know, criminals are our biggest market. Let's target the cars. Is it just me, Rex, or do you think there's a conflict of interest?
Well, you know, on the one hand... Well, on the one hand, as I was even saying that, you know, municipal tax dollars going for that, and, you know, honestly, there really isn't enough money to go around from tax dollars. Don't ask me why, fat politician, pork barrel politics. Oops, did I say that? But, so there's not enough money going around for those types of things. So on the one hand, you know, getting extra money to fund them and maybe pay them better, maybe have additional law enforcement to, you know, make us feel safer in this age of cyber terrorism and everything else. Remember, a mouse can be as deadly as a bullet or a bomb. But aside from that point, the other side is, you know, it's a municipal entity. It's like advertising on school buses. They can sell advertising. It's up to each school district, but they can sell advertising on the outside of the school bus.
I guess. I just really think the last thing I would want is any police department caving into the whims of some huge corporation because they get a shitload of funding from them.
What, you mean like all the plots they have on various TV, cop TV shows, you know, where...
Maybe I'm a little conspiratorial too early, but...
I don't know. It's now, one other thing here, talking about selling everything. Can't remember her name. Went to the website this morning. She's actually a very attractive lady. A female professional bowler.
They're hot.
No, I mean, this woman was very attractive. She even had a shot in a bikini on her website.
Really?
Yeah, very attractive lady.
Kind of a link on to the listeners.
Yeah, we'll have to. She's the first professional athlete to do this, apparently, but she decided to sell advertising space. I mean, a lot of people do that, you know, NASCAR racers have that and everything else, but since she's a professional bowler and she's like on ESPN and all these other various things showing professional bowling for whoever watches that, not me, but she decided to sell advertising on, well, basically, she's selling her ass. Okay, she's putting this patch. She's putting this patch on either her skirt or her shorts, whatever she's wearing.
Right.
She decided to sell that advertising space, so she put it on eBay. First professional athlete to sell advertising on eBay.
So it's like fat athletes to get more money because there's more space.
More space, I guess. I don't know, but it's actually funny when you go to her website too. It says, you know, whatever her name is, very marketable because, you know, basically she's saying she's a hot girl, so people are going to look at her. But
yeah, because of my ass. But you know who should sell advertising on their asses then? Professional women's pool players, like the nine-ball tournaments you see on, like, ESPN2. I'm a bit of a pool shark. Some of them are fairly attractive, and they're bending over big time, and they're getting ass shots. I know they're doing it for ratings.
Well, that'll probably be the next one. This is on ESPN as well. But
Brunswick.
Anyway, now get this. Well, she is sponsored by Brunswick, and part of the thing, I read the thing on eBay. Part of the thing said, you know, you can't sell any products that compete with Brunswick or anything Brunswick does, which is only fair, right?
Right.
Anyway, so she's the first professional athlete to sell it on eBay. Opening bid was $4,000. She figured she'd get about $4,500, $5,000, over $14,000.
Oh, that's $7,000 cheap.
There you go. For 1 year, and it was a pool company in New York that bought that advertising space.
Wow. So her ass exceeded all of her expectations.
Yeah. Apparently. Well, we could make all kinds of jokes. Insert your own ass joke here.
Sure.
But,
yeah. And nothing's better than a good ass joke. You know, I want to thank Meme for being on the shows and for making me more aware. I mean, I'm definitely more aware. Hopefully, I like to think I'm a little smarter because of her, so I want to thank Meme. And advertisement space of the future.
Actually, didn't know there's a new term, aspertisement.
That's a good one, right?
Thanks, man.
That's very good.
All right, let's change gears here. Let's talk some tech stuff.
Oh, yeah. And guess what, listeners? Guess what we're going to talk about?
Wireless.
Wireless, baby. Oh, yeah.
This has been...
I got a review of a couple of things.
Let me preface it by saying, first of all, this is International War Driving Week. It is originally just going to be Saturday.
Yeah,
but
I was
going to
say, I thought it was a day.
Right, they originally started as going to be a day. Renderman, a guy in Manitoba, Canada, came with the idea of doing it, and he originally picked the one day, and some people were saying, well, the weather is supposed to be bad here and that. So he kind of changed his mind and said, well, let's make it War Driving Week. So I'll talk about that a little bit more, but go ahead with your War Driving and your wireless stuff.
Okay, I've got wireless, no War Driving. I've got a review of a couple of applications, a couple of applets, really, for Linux. And let's say you've used wireless, you've got into it on Windows, you know, and the adapter you've got, the adapter you've installed has, you know, a client application. It's got a string painter, it's got a place for your center SSID, it's got your channel, it's got your, you know, a place to put your web phrase. But now you're moving on to Linux, and you've got it running in Linux. You know, you're doing everything basically with VI. Let's say you want a GUI front end client for your wireless adapter in Linux. Well, there's two applications you could use, and they're small for Linux, specifically for GNOME, that can give you that GUI front end, that Windows-like client application for Linux. The first is G Wireless, and like I said, it's for GNOME. And it does just what I said. It gives you a little GUI for your SSID, channel, gives you a little power-saving feature, a place for your web. Very nice. You don't get a string meter, though. Well, guess what? WVLANmon comes to the rescue, and it's a little applet that sits in your panel, It's a simple strength meter. It's kind of put together, make up like a GUI for Wavemon, you know. Think of it that way. So you've got this little meter sitting in your panel, and then you can pop up your G Wireless client app, and you've got a GUI front end for your wireless, just like Windows. So the two together, they're real small, really easy to install. Check them out and use them if you're using Red Hat GNOME or whatever in GNOME, and they work really well. I like them. Now you can't do ghetto board driving with them like you can a Windows app, you know, a wireless adapter client app, where you can just drive around, get strength, and reboot or whatever, restart your card. It doesn't quite work that way. At least it hasn't for me. So.
Well, maybe someone will come up with that part. I did a look up here for G Wireless. It's a G Wi-Fi applet. GWIFIAPPLET.sourceforge.net.
Yeah, that's a specific address. I got both of these off of wardriving.com.
Okay.
And I picked them up specifically because I'm using GNOME on my Red Hat laptop, so
now,
they work well. They work really well.
Now, are you... I'm really into KDE.
Oh, I love KDE. That's my desktop, but I wanted to change. I've got KDE on my desktop, and I got GNOME on my laptop. Actually, I use TWN on one of my user accounts on my laptop, but that's a whole other story.
Okay, so you had those two. I wanted to talk a little bit more. I know I mentioned it a little bit last week about NetStumbler, which is the Windows app that Dual was referring to for
I have used.
For your NetStumbling activities. And I talked a little bit about the fact that it does the signal-to-noise ratio as MIDI output. So I was doing my war driving this weekend for National War Driving Day, and I found that I really now like having that turned on. Normally when I'm doing my war driving net stumbling stuff, me and feedback are out driving around, and you know, one of us is driving, the other sitting in the passenger seat with all the gear. But as I was doing it this weekend, I was just driving around by myself, and I found the fact that this audio makes it very easy. It's actually very intuitive. As the note gets a higher pitch, it's better quality signal. And as it's a lower pitch, obviously, the signal-to-noise ratio is decreasing. It's kind of interesting as well, and I could see this. I think this would be interesting, and hopefully other people will adopt this as another kind of user interface. I mean, think about it. User interfaces don't have to just be graphical. And we have the GUI, which is a graphical user interface, but it's any way that you interact with the user. So audio could be just as well. What would be interesting is when you have more than one access point active, you hear with the MIDI, it's just set to be piano. And I suppose you could go in and maybe make that a different instrument by messing with your MIDI settings. But if you have more than one access point, you hear kind of like a chord. You hear more than one piano note at a time. What would be interesting, if either for NetStumbler or for something else, but specifically for NetStumbler, if someone would make it so that if the first access point, let's say, maybe is a piano, second access point is a guitar, third access point is a trumpet, fourth access point is a drum, and you'd hear these different instruments, so your ear would be able to differentiate more easily, and you'd hear them changing. So you could...
Cool.
So it would kind of give you a spatial, not special, but spatial, you know, in time and space, give you a spatial relationship of that data just with your ears.
That is cool.
I think it's very cool. And again, hopefully other people will take this kind of concept and adopt it. I haven't heard of or seen any other program using that as an interface, have you?
No, and again, your creativity astounds me. War composing, wouldn't that be awesome? You could, like, make music as you're war driving. And
just you're driving
it
around.
Yeah, that's awesome. Not to mention, like you said, you know, a different type of user interface.
You know, I think that war stuff is getting real worn out. War is getting worn out. But
all right, it is. You're right. You're right, it is. But that's a great idea. Yeah, I wonder, have you looked into it? Have you looked into, you know, where those sound files are kept? And
well,
you can just, you know, put in different sound files with the same names, and maybe it'll work. I don't know.
Well, what it is it's MIDI, Musical Instrument Digital Interface, so it's taking advantage of the MIDI circuitry on your sound card.
Okay.
So, and again, I've played around with MIDI a little bit. I know you can actually select, like, instrument one. You can change what that instrument is. So you can change it from being a piano to a guitar. But it would have to be done programmatically and in the program itself. But I'm going to make that suggestion to them. I had a couple other little suggestions for them for NetStumbler as well.
Yeah, send them out, man. I am not musically inclined in the least, by the way. So anybody that can do anything with music astounds me. Right there.
another thing I wanted to talk about with wireless is something I just came across today. Basically, it was an article on my favorite news site again, Slashdot. But there is a place called Black Alchemy, or a site called Black Alchemy, and they have a thing called Fake AP.
And it says, what's it called?
Fake AP, fake access point.
Uh-huh.
And it says, if one access point is good, 53,000 must be better.
What?
Black Alchemy's fake AP generates thousands of counterfeit 802.11b access points. Hide in plain sight amongst the fake AP's cacophony of beacon frames. As part of a honeypot or as an instrument of your own site security plan, fake AP confuses word drivers, net stumblers, script kiddies, and other undesirables, and it's GPL'd. So here's the thing. It must you run the program, and it generates the beacon frames, 53,000 apparently, but it must generate fake SSIDs and all this type of thing. So you have this going, and if someone's stumbling along, they find this big mass of access points, these 53,000 access points in this one coming out of this one building. So if you were going there with nefarious intent that you're trying to break into that site, you would have to sit there and try each one of those 53,000. I mean, assuming it's not the very first one, the probability is just as great that your real one is the first one as it is the 53,000. But you would set inside your company, you know, you pick whatever your SSID is going to be. You know, Doggy, like I said, was the most creative one I saw. So your SSID is Doggy. And you manually set all the wireless cards in your organization to use Doggy as the SSID. Well, meanwhile, when someone is stumbling by and they come up to all these 53,000 different access points, if they're trying to lock into any one of them, they won't be able to unless they happen to, pardon the pun, stumble across that one called Doggy. So it's actually, you know, a little bit of subterfuge just by, again, hiding in plain sight, which they say is one of the better security things.
So it's sending out, using this program, it'll enable your access point to send out 53,000 different headers, 802.11 headers, and people pick those up at the same signal strength as your real, you know, an access point, SSID, all that information, and, okay.
Yep.
And is that going to stop your access? I mean...
No.
No, it doesn't.
Nope.
Okay.
No, because again, once you have the... once you have the beacon frame, once you know the SSID, matter of fact, if you know the SSID, most access point now can be set to not beacon. And actually, NetStumbler, if an access point is not beaconing, sending out a frame saying, hey, this is my SSID, if it's not doing that, NetStumbler doesn't see them. Kismet, on the other hand, will see them. If there's a frame that goes by and you're not beaconing, but if there's a frame that goes by with the SSID, Kismet will pick that up. NetStumbler,
right, it's passive. NetStumbler actively sends out packets and waits for a reply.
Right. So you know, maybe at some point they'll get that ability to do that. But getting back to your point, no, it won't really interfere with things, because if all your clients are set to use just this one thing, they don't even care about beacon frames. Once they've logged in,
it's like
a DHCP request. Once you have an IP, you don't keep sending out DHCP requests.
Right. It's like I almost said it's like a switch network, but it's not, because you can sniff it easily anywhere. But your whatever you set SSID to, that's the only packet that the other node listens to. So, all
yeah.
Right, I understand.
Yeah, so that's very cool.
I would like to try that.
It's they've tested on Red Hat 7.3 and needs Perl 5.6 or later, and the Prism 2 drivers in that installed, so you probably have to recompile the kernel. But again, it's just a proof of concept. It's GPL'd out, so who knows what the next iteration of things are going to bring.
Dude, wireless is just going crazy. I love it.
Yeah, it's really busting out.
Yeah, I want the specifications. IEEE specs. Do you have those? They cost a lot, don't they?
Actually, it's probably all available online.
Free?
Yeah, how do you think the people that wrote Kismet and NetStumbler and everything else did? They probably went and looked up all the stuff. It's probably an RFC. Matter of fact, it almost has to be, because Wi-Fi is an open standard.
Okay. Well, I need to do a little research, apparently.
Dude, you need to get a life if you want to read those RFCs.
Yeah, that's right. I need to get off my ass and get a reading. Man, I just turned on my machine. Well, first of all, I have no internet access. It sucks. And I just turned on my machine before we started recording the show. And that's refreshing as it is. But anyway, you know, all the people that, you know, fight for this country and then go away for a long, long time, you know, it's got to be very rough. Because I was just away from my home for 3 weeks. and that was rough enough. So.
Well, but you had internet. You had dial-up on Slingshot, so you could get out on net and check your email, but it's not the same.
Actually, there was actually a DSL connection at the hotel. Boy, I tell you what, having cable, I sure noticed the difference between cable and DSL.
Yeah.
It's you know, night and day, to me, anyways. Oh, excuse me.
Oh, that's very, very professional there, man. Nice.
Sorry, man. I actually worked out tonight. Feel good. Just had my protein drink, you know, and it was saying hello to your listeners. Now, can I talk about one of my favorite subjects?
Depends on what it is.
Sex, no, it's...
Let's say, what's her name?
Yeah. Retail security, baby. One of my favorites. I love messing with stores. They've got all these systems. They've got all these protocols. And it's kind of all for naught, you know. Let me preface everything. There's an article on our site by Slip. What is it called? Have Fun with Mervins or something like that. A great article. You know, probably one of the more, controversial articles, at least I've heard that from some of my friends, on the site. Talks all about Mervins. Well, I was actually there. I was there with a friend this weekend, you know. I had to be there, so you know what? I'm curious. I started looking around. I started messing around in the store. Well, I find quite a few things. Well, first of all, I think I've talked about this before, and I've told you listeners, the EAS system, electronic article surveillance system, you know, the portals and the entrances of every big store anymore, you know, they exist, and the companies also have logs, and you look near the entrances, you know, around the corner on the little wall by the entrance to the store, there will be probably a three-ring binder just hanging on the wall, and that's the EAS activity log. Sometimes they even have test tags, which are basically laminated cards with the little tags in there that they can test the system. Well, I'm sorry, I'm curious. I went and checked out this book, and boy, I just walked right up to it, picked it up, and I was checking out all the logs of all the people who have done bad things. Well, and I came across a table, and it was the Mervins EAS activity codes, and this is for their logs. First, let's see, and there's a whole list here. TIA tag an area, TSD test, you know, if they're using the test, they got to log it if it sets it off. FPR failure to remove, raw runaway, you know, if somebody runs away, they got to write raw in there. APP apprehension, UEA unexplained alarm, OTH other, STM stock movement, right? And those are their EAS activity codes. Everybody enjoy those. Oh, there's some more EAS PR codes, and these are actually fairly amusing. If they catch somebody, they have codes, and these aren't elaborate codes, by the way, to tell how the person reacts if they catch. One is pleasant, two is understanding, and they go downhill from here, three is agitated, and four is hostile. So, if you ever see someone to get caught, well, guess what? Go check out that log and see what that person was. Just go through the log. It's sitting right there. They don't secure it in the least. Check it out. I also messed around with their credit application phones, but I'm not going to go into that. That was pretty rudimentary. I also found this number, Mervins Alert 1. I think Dave, was it Dave Hudson, the name of the parent company?
Right.
Okay. This is some number. I don't know what it is, but it's the Alert 1 number for all Dave Hudson companies. Mervins, Target, Dayton's, I think is the name of the store. I'm not really familiar with them. But I did find this number, and I'd like to call it. I don't know what it is, and I'll do it, Rax, if that's cool.
Go for it.
Okay. So here we go. I'll be right back.
So Duel's going to flash the hook here, and hopefully he'll flash it back to get us back online. If not, we'll do a little edit and post-production here. And any second now he'll get back on the line. We'll also tell you about something else, too, here, a great little site called dialabc.com that lets you basically play with phones in the sense of you can put in a number, hear the touch tones, you can put in a phone number, see what words it'll make. So that's dialabc.com. It's kind of neat. You can actually take recorded touch tone tones, like someone dialing a number. You can record that, upload it to the site, and it'll decode it and tell you which numbers it's dialing.
Okay, I think I flashed too soon and lost it. And then I tried to call you back, and of course you have call waiting turned off, so I got your voicemail instantly.
Yeah.
Just stopped it. Yeah, you know, you're more quality conscious. I would have stopped it. I would have, you know, left my fumbling and bumbling in the show, but...
Well, I also had another call come in meantime, too.
Okay, I'm going to try this again.
All right, go for it, man.
All right.
Anyway, the joys of telephony. What happens with my speakerphone is that as soon as I get another call, it kicks the first line off, which is kind of bizarre, so that's why I turned on the call waiting. We'll see if Dula can get me back on the line. We're still there.
There we go.
Please dial the number that you're calling.
Here we go. 1-800-668-16. I'm talking over the AT&T phone.
I can't hear it.
Okay.
Thank you for using AT&T.
800-663-1609.
There you go.
Hello, everyone. What is your emergency?
Oh, I'm sorry, I don't have an emergency. Who did I just call?
Alert 1, the emergency number for Target Corporation.
Oh, I'm very sorry. I have no emergency.
Okay.
Thank you.
So that's what it is.
Sir, are you there still? Okay. Holy moly. An emergency, an 800 emergency number for Target Corporation.
Well, Alert 1 sounds like a security service is all it sounded like, you know, for a home burglar alarm or something.
Yeah, I'm sure it is, but a nationwide national alert system for a corporation, huh? Again, that number, don't call it. Do not call this number, 800-633-1609. Huh, that's kind of weird. I thought they would just have local security.
Well, why would it be local security with an 800 number?
Well, that's what I'm saying, but why would they have a national number, you know, if you've got a local event?
Well, they probably dispatch it out to the local police or whatever else in that.
I guess it just sounds a little extraneous to me. I mean,
well, rather than dialing 911 if it's like a shoplifter or something, maybe, who knows?
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm just still curious about it. So there's a number for you. Do not call that number, by the way. Yeah, and I found a couple of payphones, a couple of Quest payphones that accepted incoming calls, which is surprising in Mervin. So most don't anymore. So that was my little retail security adventure. Lots of fun. Wherever you go, listeners, there's something to learn. There's something you can explore or discover. You know, if you're bored off your ass, who knows where you are? You're waiting in line somewhere. Look around. Look up in the, you know, look at the ceiling. Look in the corners. Look for the cameras. Check out their security. Look for the sensors on the doors. Check stuff out. You know, I'm never bored. Never, ever am I bored. No matter where I am, what I'm doing, I'm not bored. There's always something to do, always something to think about.
There you go. See, that could have been your closing thoughts for the show today.
That is. That, you know what? Guess what? That was my closing thoughts for the show. Be aware, no matter what you're doing, check stuff out. And definitely be aware.
Be aware and shred your envelopes.
Oh, I'm paranoid, aren't I?
Oh, well. Just a little bit.
Yeah, well, at least I'm not schizophrenic.
Say what?
Neither of us are schizophrenic.
Yeah. Well, you know what they say, you're never alone with a schizophrenic.
That's right. Well, I can't wait for the meeting.
Yeah, coming up this Friday, you're coming back in for that?
Yes, I am. I will be in town, and I'm going to... Now, see, I don't know if I can make the next meeting. I know you want the phone presentations, and I'd like to present stuff, but I'm going to have to show some stuff at this meeting just because I don't know if I'm going to make it to the next one. I need to take that opportunity, I think. I'm not going to show a lot, but I'm going to show a little bit of stuff. I can't wait. This should be a really good meeting. It should be a really good turnout from what I've been hearing from the locals. So
what have you been hearing? How come I didn't hear anything?
Dapper Link is going to be there early.
But yeah, we know Zapper is going to be there.
He will be there. We'll be there. You'll be there this time. It's been 2 months since you've been there, if I'm correct.
That's correct.
Yeah, so, hey.
Condor ought to be there?
Yes. Haven't heard from him in a long time.
Yeah, not sure what his deal is. He said something he had to... Actually, didn't he email that at the one time he was going to be on the show and he had to miss it because he was working on, I guess at the start of school, they had to kind of define some kind of project that they were going to do, and he was doing something dealing with GPL and software and that. So that sounded kind of interesting.
Very cool, yeah. Yeah, that's all I got, dude. Has it been an hour?
No, we're not... We're actually kind of short here today.
Are you serious? Okay, all right. Then I got... Okay, good. Then we get to do a little phone calling. One of my favorite things. Okay, we were talking about advertising. And I noticed this number on an advertisement. Viacom Outdoor. Oh, first of all, during my trip back from where I was, of course I saw 30 million Clear Channel billboards. The guy I was with had no idea. He had no idea that Clear Channel owned, every radio station in the world and had, three quadrillion billboards everywhere. But, we saw them all, and he started to realize what was going on. But another advertisement I saw had a little number at the bottom, Viacom Outdoor. And I want to call this number just to see what it is. Just to see,
Well, that's
great billboard, Viacom. Way to go. What the hell is that number for? So I want to call that. Is that cool?
Go for it, man.
All right.
Viacom is another one of the media conglomerates that, look at which TV and radio shows or stations they have. Again, it's all megalomania in corporate America where everything's kind of coming together.
Here we go.
Thank you for using AT&T.
Okay, this number is 800-349-1474. Do you like that? In between the rings.
Nice.
La la la.
Probably a business number.
Oh, I know it is.
You have reached Viacom Outdoor Mall Division. Our operation hours are Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 5. There is no recorded message. To record a message, press 5. Other commands are message options 70, login 81, disconnect 83, and attendance 0.
Well, 81, I would say.
Mailbox?
Mailbox is, 84.
If you have finished entering the number, press number sign. Password? Login incorrect. Please try again.
Well, I don't think we should be trying this, right?
Enter your mailbox number followed by number sign.
No, let's hit start.
Well, you could spend all kinds of time doing that.
Followed by number sign.
Yeah, plus, I didn't want to log into any mailbox. I accidentally typed in those numbers. Let me hang up on this.
Mailbox number followed by number sign.
Well, okay, thank you very much. That would be pretty easy to get, I'd say, during operational hours.
Press star.
Okay, goodbye.
Please enter your mailbox number followed by number sign.
Oh,
I'm here. Now, who's there? Let's see if we lost dual. The line's still lit up.
Okay. Good. Right. No, it's on. Okay. I thought I was doing something else, and I accidentally tried to log in, so.
I thought you were going to be Homer Simpson there when you were hanging up.
Almost did. So that number, and boy, call them up during operational hours, and you can easily find out, a couple of extensions, and I bet you extensions are mailbox numbers, and a lot of times people are not smart, and they use their extension is their password. So that was Viacom Outdoor, 800-349-1474. Now, the last number I want to call, well, if time permitting, this is, hold on, I'm flipping through my book here. La, la, la.
Yeah, we've actually, it's nice, we've got a light schedule today.
Light schedule, what do you mean, on the show?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I love this. I love making phone calls. I know it's not your cup of tea. Oh, anybody want to call PC Chat? It's a show that's on 2 to 3 p.m. Mountain Pacific right now, and it's 888-437-7660. And go in there and tell them what hackers really are. Okay, this is for Wayport Wi-Fi, and they run the wireless access points inside hotels like Sheraton. I don't know what other chains, but they basically run paper internet access. Is that a term? I don't know. It is now. You go into your hotel, you can sit in the lobby, and I think it's like $10 a day, and you get a password. You go through their little proxy, and you get internet access. Their number, I got two numbers here. Where did I get these? I don't know where I got them, but I've got two. One is 877-WAYPORT, which is 929-7678. And then I have their corporate number, which is 888-492-9767. I want to call. I think the other one's a tech support. I want to call that one and see what I can get out of them. Hold on.
Okay, as Dual's doing that, there's a lot of other companies that are starting to do that, getting ready for the pay-for internet access. T-Mobile, which again is the parent company for VoiceStream, and again they're looking at buying Singular.
Please dial the number that you are calling.
T-Mobile is doing that in Starbucks, or they're going to be doing that in Starbucks across the country, and it's going to be like $3 for 15 minutes, and whatever else. So as you're sitting there having your coffee, your very overpriced coffee, you can pay an exceptional price for 3 minutes or 15 minutes worth of wireless access.
Calls not related to connecting to Wayport's high-speed internet access. Please press 9 now to be connected to our corporate office. For future reference, the new Wayport corporate telephone number is 888-492-9767.
Thank you.
Please hold. Your call is being transferred to technical support. Your call may be monitored or taped to ensure quality customer service.
It is being taped.
Little do they know.
Please make your selection from the following menu. If you are calling from a hotel, guest room, or common area, press 1. For assistance,
I'm calling from a hotel. Thank you for calling Wayport Technical Support. All agents are currently assisting other callers. Please stand the line, and your call will be answered in the order received. Well, I don't know how long we're going to wait, but...
Yeah.
What kind of music they got? What kind of music do they have at Wayport?
I can barely hear it.
Like Enya or something. Okay, let's just leave it in the background here. Let me turn it down.
I can't hear it anyway, so it doesn't matter if you turn it up or down.
Okay, good. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll just leave it, and when they come on, I'll let you know. I'll start yakking something different.
So anyway, I was saying about T-Mobile doing the deal with Starbucks for the wireless access. And actually now, just right at on September 1st, I heard the first T-Mobile ad, and they said, you know, it was basically the same shtick they were doing for VoiceStream, and, you know, like anywhere minutes and all those kinds of terms, and they had another ad with Catherine Zeta-Jones, who is their new spokesperson.
Catherine Zeta-Jones, is she hot by any chance?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I don't know who she is. Now, where I was staying, there was a Starbucks nearby. I actually called around and asked the people at Starbucks, you know, do any of your stores have wireless access? No, none of them did, but they did have wired access. They didn't have Ethernet access. I don't know if I'm sure you paid for it, but just sit in and plug into a hub somewhere. Maybe the store's wired. I don't know. I did try it. I've yet to try it, and I'd like to hear from anybody who has and what kind of system it uses, you know.
We're continuing to hold. Your call is very important to us. Apologize for the inconvenience.
Did you hear that, Rax?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, if anybody's ever messed around in the Starbucks internet access, wireless or wired, let us know. I'm definitely interested. I didn't get to try it, and I wish I did.
Hey, Bill, one thing, too. We forgot to...
Oh.
Yes, you're calling Wayport. This is Trey. How can I help you?
Hi, Trey. My name is Michael, and I'm in a Sheraton right now, and I'm not having very good luck. I'm using a Windows laptop, and I've got a Lucent Orinoco card. I'm sure you're familiar with that. And I paid $9.95, I believe, for lobby access, but I'm still having trouble. Do I have to set up my browser for a certain proxy? What do I do exactly?
Which room are you staying in, and which city hotel?
I'm staying in at Los Angeles Sheraton 115. Now, you know that? How do you know that, me calling an 800 number?
How do I know what?
Well, I mean, what does it matter what Sheraton I'm in, one room? Is it different everywhere around the nation?
Basically, I have monitoring software where I can take a look at the room and see what could be going on.
Well, actually, it's not. This is just lobby. I thought the room was much more expensive.
Okay, I mean, I can check into what's going on in the lobby as well.
Okay.
So you said you're in Los Angeles?
Yeah, downtown L.A.
Is it Courtyard by Marriott? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I thought they were only... Okay. So you can monitor every Wayport access point throughout the nation?
Mm-hmm.
Holy moly.
Do you know the MAC address or your wireless card?
No, I'm sorry, I don't.
Okay, I can show you how to get it. Which operating system are you running?
I'm running Windows 2000.
Okay, let's go down to the start button.
Okay.
And we want to go to where it says run.
Got it.
And type in CMC, Charlie Michael David.
Uh-huh.
And press OK.
That'll give me a DOS prompt, is that correct? Okay.
And
done.
And we want to do ipconfig.
Oh, yes, I am familiar with that, actually.
And then just a space slash all.
Slash all, okay. And I'll give, if I had a integrated Ethernet port, it'd give me that, too. Okay. Okay. Oh.
I'm looking for a physical address starting with 00.
Physical address? You know what? Okay, all right. I'm sorry, I've got to go.
I work here 24/7, too.
You are. Wonderful. Thank you very much.
No.
Bye.
And we've just lost Duel again. Okay, this time we'll keep the phone going, but that's how they're walking them through. But it's interesting that they can monitor that from throughout the country. So one wonders if they're using SNMP to monitor all those stations throughout. And that should be our buddy Duel. Is that our buddy Duel?
Did I get that?
Yeah.
Okay. Why do I keep this? I don't know why I keep disconnecting. I barely touch a switch hook, and it disconnects me. You know, once it drops, the right person, but I think twice it did. But that sucks. Anyway.
I was just explaining to the listeners about the fact that they're monitoring it all. It makes you wonder if they're using SNMP to monitor all the access points throughout the country.
Yeah, that must be pretty elaborate. 24/7, they know.
Well, they just have a knock. I mean, that's not that big of a deal, and it's manned 24/7. They probably also do, because I was reading a little bit about what T-Mobile was doing, but they probably also do that they do a centralized authentication. So they probably have a Radius or a AAA authentication server there that they're that's why he wanted your MAC address and everything else, obviously. But it was interesting as well that he was saying it should start with a 00. Actually, the Orinoco's do it 00022D. That's the vendor code. Each MAC address is actually broken into two parts: the vendor code and the serial number. So since you said it was an Orinoco, was able to figure that out. But anyway, so they probably have that in centralized authentication as well. So he'd probably look up on the authentication server and see what you had. I thought you were going to say, "Oh darn, Windows crashed. I'm going to have to call you back."
That would have worked very well. That would have been much more believable, actually. Now, there's one thing I do know is that they use, I believe, Linux Cobalt servers in all their hotels. I think that's the platform that they use. And and I did notice the MAC addresses, like you'd go and. Well, let's say you actually went somewhere and you, you did some more driving and you found a bunch of different access points. You'll notice all the access points have corresponding MAC addresses, like the Cisco's and Linksys. You'll notice that just over access thing.
Yeah, actually, MAC address. Well, that's because it's Ethernet, and everything Ethernet has a MAC address. It's a layer 2 physical address. The IP address is a layer 3 logical address. So it's like this. It's like a physical address never changes. It's like your social security number. No matter where you're born, when you get a social security number, you move anywhere in the country, you keep that social security number. An IP address is like your street address. So if you move to another city, obviously you get another street address. You don't keep the same street address you had in your old city. However, you do keep your same MAC address. So if I took my computer and went to Los Angeles, I would still have the same MAC address, but I would get a different IP address. So that's how those two things interrelate.
Hey, how did you learn the OSI model? I learned all people seem to need data processing.
I learned the mnemonic was, please do not throw sausage pizza away. See, I like that better because you actually start from layer 1 and work your way up.
So,
I mean, it's stupid enough that you remember, you know? So please.
Oh, I'll never forget that. I will never forget that. And it, like you said, it's right set up. So that's fun. Hey, go play with it. Listeners, go play with. Now, I've been in a couple of Sheratons and played with their access, but apparently they have a Courtyard by Marriott. And
well, that was interesting, too. He could have almost tripped you up there because he said you were in a Sheraton, and then they said you were in downtown L.A., which was a good bluff. Right. And then he said, "Oh, you're in the Courtyard by Marriott."
I said, "Oh yeah, yeah."
I mean, you said, "Oh yeah, that's right." you could have. You might have been able to cover for it, but he could have been testing you there a little bit as well.
Oh, maybe so. Who knows?
Also, want to say too about that with the MAC addresses. A couple of resources for that. First of all, when you're in NetStumbler, it tells you the manufacturer based on that first part of the MAC address, which is actually called the OUI, the Organizational Unit Identifier,
mm-hmm.
which is basically a number assigned. I think by IEEE to every manufacturer. But if you go to shmoo.org, www.shmoo.org, among several things that they have is, I'm going to go to there right now, is a under their resources section, they have the MAC, a thing with MAC addresses, so you can type in the first 6 hexadecimal characters of the MAC address and find out what the manufacturer is. Who the manufacturer is.
Very cool. Hey, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Now, you can go to the FAQ at netstumbler.net.
I think it's .com.
At Felder.com, you go to the FAC and check out. They have some of the values for the flags. And I've run into others, specifically on Cisco access points, 0031. And I don't know what that is, and I've yet to research it. Shit, I just got home for crying out loud. But I've run into a few flags. I want a definitive list of flag values. And listeners, if you find it, let me know, and I'll post it on our site and give you credit, of course. So I want to know for myself, and I'd also like, you know, I'd like all the listeners to know. So, hey, can I say something personal right now?
Depends how personal it is.
Well, I'm confident. No, I miss Hackermine. I know he's busy, you know, and I definitely understand that. Making a show is not easy. I was supposed to read an email over the air. Well, I've got no access. I can't get the email. So, C4, I'll read your email next week. I miss Hackermine. You know, every week I look forward to Thursday. You know, Monday night I look forward to Sean Kennedy. You know, I used to look forward to Off the Hook on Tuesdays. Now it's Wednesdays. I don't get to listen to it as often. They're preempted all the time, anyways. And then we do our show, and then Thursdays I like to listen to Hackermine. You know, I don't watch TV. I don't listen to radio. I like this media. I like I like the ideas and the you know, the technical content of the media that I listen to, and it's going away. You know? Where's it all going? I want more. Listeners, create your own show. You know?
But as you said, it is a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, but it's so rewarding, you know? People have sent emails thanking us, you know? And man, it means a lot to me, you know? It's not to mention, it's just damn fun. It's a lot of fun. So...
Hey, one thing we need to talk about too, and we didn't get it done partially because it's Duel's fault because he was out of town. Now, we've got I put a scan up there of the new Radio Freak America stickers, and we will get that on by the time. Tell you what, we'll commit to this. If Duel gets me the information, since he doesn't have internet access, I will get the information posted online for how you can get your very own Radio Freak America sticker with all proceeds. Repeat, all proceeds. Of that going to the Electronic Frontier Foundation.
Yes, yes. RFA stickers for the EFF. And we will get the information by the meeting. How about that? By meeting day Friday, the information will be up on the site, and people can get their stickers.
Well, hell, all I need is the P.O. box, man, and I'll take and get the stuff up. We're recording on Tuesday, and the show broadcasts out on Wednesday. So anyway, we'll definitely have it up by the meeting one way or the other.
By Friday.
For those of you listening that are going to the 2600 meeting that know us personally in our area, we'll have the stickers there as well. So
yeah, no doubt. Are we going to sell them to them or give them? I'll tell you what, I'll give them the old stickers because I got a bunch of those still.
Yeah, I got a lot of the old ones as well that I made, but I like the new ones. The vinyl ones are pretty cool.
Yeah, I want a new one for my laptop. I redid my laptop. I've got Naked Ladies on my laptop now. It's great.
You know, I've got my DEF CON sticker. I've got some weird thing. I can't remember what it was, but it's on the center covering up the Compact logo, my RFA sticker, and hectic.org on there.
Hell yeah. Customize it, baby.
You know, I was going to put a War Driver sticker on there, but I figured that would be, you know, too incriminating.
Advertising.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, man, we can officially put a wrap on it for now. This makes a show.
Yeah, and it was a very good show. And again, I miss Hackermine. That's what that sign was for. There's got to be more. I know there's interest. I know people enjoy it. You know, something has to be done. I don't know what, but something, somewhere, somebody has got to step up. You know,
step up to the microphone.
Yeah, that's right. And not just to get a message out, not just to
do it for the chicks. You get all kinds of chicks doing this stuff. Yeah, right.
Amen, baby. Yeah, well, not for the chicks, and not to be political, get your message out and fight the fight, but shit, just have fun, you know, and to give me some fun, you know, because damn, the mainstream media sure isn't doing it. I need more. Well, thanks for recording again, Rax.
Again, I'm gonna say, as I do every week, keep knowledge free. We got to, fight the fight for that Duel. Other than, you gave your thought earlier in the show.
I'm going to give it again. Be aware, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, never be bored because there's always something to learn. Look above your head for crying out loud. Check stuff out. Notice things.
For the closing music, I'm actually going to continue playing that song we started with. It was, what the heck was that called? It was,
Griffin with Rax.
Optical Probe, because I just want to look at the pretty colors. No, it's actually a grooving tune, so.
Right on.
And we shall catch you, some of you at the meeting, and catch you all next week.
Good night.
Bye.